There's an equation that says if you get 23 people in the same room, the chances are better than half that two of them share the same birthday. Right now, there are only about 5 people in this electronic room between two different radio studios on the East and West Coasts. Now, I had a birthday this week on March 16. Keith Devlin, our math guy, joins us from Stanford University in California. Keith, what's your birthday?
It's March 16th, Scott.
Oh my gosh, the odds are even higher than we thought.
Happy birthday to you,
And
one in five, right?
happy
Boy.
birthday
Yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm intrigued. I've heard this statistic cited for years, this probability. Why 23? Is it just because that was Michael Jordan's number?
It would be nice to say yes to that one, especially because he is a math major after all. However, it just turns out when you do the math on how many people you would need in a room to have two people sharing the same birthday, it turns out that 23 is the number you get where the odds flip in favour. They get bigger than one half of getting two people with the same birthday.
And that really works?
I mean, people are surprised because when you hear it, you think, wait a minute, there's 365 days in the year.
Yeah.
It's going to take more than 23 to get two people sharing the same birthday. But if you've got 23 people in the room, that gives you 253 different possible pairs of people. And the question, remember, doesn't say what's the chances of finding somebody else with the same birthday as you. It's can you find any two people with the same birthday? And if you've got 253 possible pairs, then it's actually not so surprising that you'll find a pair with the same birthday.
Now, what do you, Keith, are other examples of probabilities that a lot of us would find surprising?
Oh my goodness, there are so many of them. Let me give you one. I could say, I know a couple who have two children, and at least one of those children is a boy. And I could ask you, what do you think is the probability that their second child, their other child, is also a boy? Now, most people would think, well, the second child, it's equally likely to be a boy or a girl, so the chances are 50%. No, the chances of their other child being a boy is actually one in three. It's less than 50%. If you sit down and do the math, it becomes fairly clear why, but at first pass, it sounds surprising. And
Well, sit
my
down and do the
innermost.
math. I'm still surprised, yeah.
What's going on there is you automatically think the first child is a boy, whereas what I said was one of the children is a boy. It could be the first or it could be the second. That extra possibility of the boy being the first or the second changes the odds from 50% down to one third.
Well, Keith, for example, when a weather person says there's a 25% probability of rain, does that mean only 25% of the people will get rained on? What does that mean?
Yeah, here we're getting into an interesting area that actually I've always found fascinating. You've got, on the one hand, you've got what we call objective probabilities, which are the probabilities of throwing a double six when you throw two dice or getting a full house in poker, where you can calculate the answer and it really means something. It's got scientific precision. At the other end of the spectrum, there are sort of what we call subjective probabilities, where you say, oh, what's the chances that I'm going to meet my future fiancé, my future spouse tomorrow? And you can assign some sort of numbers to that. Then in the middle, we've got this area like weather forecasting, where there is a lot of data collected, there's a lot of science going on, a lot of calculations. So the 25% chance of rain is based on some intensive mathematical calculations. But there's also an element of human judgment involved. And so we've got a mix in weather forecasting of both objective and expert subjective probabilities, which, of course, is why the answers are sometimes right and sometimes wrong.
Are games of chance pure probability, pure mathematics?
Oh, totally. And that's why Las Vegas and Reno and all and Atlantic City make a steady, inexorable profit year after year after year. They calculate the odds down to the mathematical letter or the mathematical number, if you like.
Is it possible that somebody can have more predictable luck on a slot machine than somebody else?
No, you know, the only casino game where someone can, using mathematics, beat the casino is blackjack. And because people can do that, casinos monitor their players very closely on television, and they can spot when someone's using the mathematics and they just throw them out of the casino. The most you can do when you go into a casino, if you know some mathematics, is minimize your losses. There's an old joke of the compulsive gambler who says, "I hope I break even tonight. I need the money." And that's based on real mathematics.
Keith Devlin is Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University. Keith, nice talking to you, and happy birthday again.
And a happy birthday to you again, Scott.
And you can see how Keith figured out those probability equations by going to our website, npr.org.